a real excitement. There's my brother Johnson. Good to see you. There's so many familiar faces here that I know I'll be spying as I start. And probably what I need to do at the very offset, how many people here have gone through the School of Evangelization over in Pensacola? Would you just stand up? The people that have actually gone through the school, and okay, and how many of you have heard me speak before? I probably need to ask that. Okay, how many of you in here, this is your first time out of the box, and it's, you feel kind of okay. All right, that's what I was trying to get around to. I would like to ask the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life, to come and inspire me that I may say something tonight, that no matter where you are in your spiritual growth or in your spiritual walk, that I may say something that will encourage you or strengthen you in your walk. That the Holy Spirit living in me would minister to you. And so I ask the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life, the one that comes and teaches and instructs, the one, the advocate, the one that inspires the truth of God to come. And in this privileged moment, bless us with the wisdom and the knowledge of God, that we may truly begin to build God's kingdom here on this earth now at this time. And we ask it in Jesus' holy name. And everyone said,
amen.
Name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Never be embarrassed to bless yourself. That's one of the things that I always try to teach, is always be open to bless yourself. It's a tremendous thing to be able to bless yourself. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't want you, if there's anyone here from another denomination or from some other particular background, please don't be embarrassed by that, because it's a wonderful thing to be able to bless yourself. In our church, in the church that God has allowed me the great privilege to be in, this community of believers, our Pope says that for the next 10 years, the next decade, our church will be committed to evangelization. That each one of us is to be able to express ourselves in our faith, that we may be encouraging to others to bring people into a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. That we should be knowledgeable enough about what we believe, understand what we believe well enough, that with our sincerity, with our commitment, with our understanding, that we may even overwhelm people to come and to partake in this marvelous excitement of the Lord Jesus Christ. And over the past 13 years, I remember that this was 13 years ago, I had a chance to share my testimony here. It was over in the hall. I forget now. We had, do you remember that? Yeah, and we also had one up here at the shopping center. But in the very early beginning, the only thing that I had a knowledge of was my experience that I had with the Lord Jesus, this personal relationship, that Jesus Christ loved me, that He died for me, that He was resurrected for me, and that He allowed His Holy Spirit to come to me, that I might have the wisdom and the strength and the courage and the zeal and the enthusiasm to go forth and to share this with other people. And that's a wonderful experience. Marvelous experience. Now, over the years, as I have desired to be an effective witness, my knowledge and understanding of my relationship with Jesus has expanded. And I'd like to go into some of that tonight. I won't be able to go into a lot because naturally we're limited with our time. But there's two areas that I would really like to touch base with you on, because I'm convinced that if we ever enter into the reality of what we believe, if we can sincerely commit ourselves to what we believe, and we can all come together in one mind, one heart, and one spirit, and have a single-minded direction, that if we can ever achieve that, 850 million Roman Catholics will swamp the world with Jesus. There won't be anything that won't get touched with our spirituality, because the day that we can enter into one mind. And let me give you, I passed out some pamphlets tonight, and what I'd like for you to do, it says, in the one where it says the creed, I'd like for you to just open up the first page where it gives the profession of faith, the Nicene Creed. And when I first began to share my testimony all over the country, sometimes I would be booed. A lot of people would get up and walk out, and I was really kind of overwhelmed with the rejection that came my way. And I was praying one day, and just before I was to speak, and I was in San Diego, and I asked the Lord to give me something to where I could properly express myself in what I believe, to where people would be able to listen, to where it would be a form of unity instead of division, that people would be encouraged to sit and listen and be strengthened in a single faith. And I picked up a missal, and my eyes fell on the Nicene Creed, and I can tell every one of you here that for the past 9 years, it has been the cornerstone of the ministry that I'm in today. I never go anywhere, I never speak to anyone without bringing them some part of my faith and what I believe. An astonishing thing, when I begin to share this, I've shared it in every denomination that you can imagine, and I've yet to have anyone reject it. It's an incredible tool of evangelization, and the most thrilling thing to me is that it puts us all into one mind. I know that we've got all different kinds of educated people here. We have different professions. We've got different statuses. We've got all different kinds. But this profession of faith will bring us all in to one mind, one heart, one spirit, and one direction. And I'm convinced that if we ever can allow that to happen, we're going to see some marvelous, marvelous times in our life. So it starts out by saying, "In this is what I believe. I believe that there's only one God. I don't believe in two gods tonight. I don't believe that there's a half a dozen gods. I believe in my faith that there's only one God." And to show you how that can be unifying, I'll ask that question to you. How many of you believe tonight that there's only one God? You see, so right away we're all thrust into one mind and one heart and one spirit if we believe that there's only one God. And so as we focus in on this one God, it kindly brings the road down to where she's rather narrow and it's straight. And if we will pursue the knowledge of, the excitement of, the wisdom of, the faith of this one God together in our profession of faith, it will bring us into the reality of who we are in Him. And that's when we can become extremely effective in our faith. For it says here that this one God that we believe in is the Father. Now, I'm convinced, because I've really dug into this, that each one of us, being a unique, marvelous creation of God, there's not a one of you in here chose to come into this world. God has selected you and put you here. He is your Father. Like it or not, accept it or not, doesn't discount the fact that He is my Father, and He is your Father. And my position in this faith is to accept you as Him being your Father, whether you accept it or not. In other words, my relationship with you, if you totally deny that there's a God, my faith says that there is a God and that He is your Father, and I will accept you on my faith, not on your faith. I will accept you through the power of the Word, this marvelous gift of life in my faith over your faith. So then I can look at you, instead of being critical, I can be very compassionate. Instead of being judgmental, I can be very edifying. Instead of condemning, I can lift you up. So my belief is tonight that there's only one God, and that every living human being on this earth was chosen by God and put on this earth, and each person on this earth is here for me and for my salvation, because whatever I do to the least of one of God's children, I've just done it to Him. And each one of you here is the least, because there's only one of you. Correct? There's only one. There is only one of me in the whole wide world. And folks, you know, I occupy a space and a time that nobody else will be able to occupy. God has given me a specific time in life that He's never given anybody else but me. I will totally be responsible for my action of faith in what I believe toward you. Nobody else will be responsible for that. I believe tonight that God is the God of all people, regardless of color, race, tongue, nationality. God wipes all of that out. You know, some of us like to take a little pride in the fact that we're Polish. Or we may like to take a little pride in the fact that maybe I'm Irish. No, my excitement tonight is that God is my Father, and I am a child of the King. You can't label me any other way. Amen.
Amen.
Now, you see, when we all begin to think like this, then discrimination, all of the things that divide people will begin to disappear. The things that divide us and hold us apart will begin to melt away when we look at one another as God being the Father. One of the areas that I like to really get into are the Beatitudes. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart," or the pure-hearted, "for they shall see God." Do you know, I'm convinced that that Beatitude is for the church today, and I'm convinced that if we believe that there's only one God and He is the Father, that I'm to see God in every one of you, and that's what a pure heart is. I no longer look at black. I no longer look at yellow. I no longer look at brown. I no longer look at white. I see everybody as children of God. I see the whole human race as coming from God, in my acceptance of everybody living today. Is through this one God. I tell you what you'll do. If you'll just take this much of the creed, I believe in one God, the Father. If you will begin to meditate in that, just that much, tomorrow morning when you wake up, you'll look at your wife, if you're married, laying in the same bed with you, if you're sleeping together, and you will see her a totally different person than you've ever been able to look at her before. You will go out and see your next door neighbor as something in a way that you've never had an opportunity to look at him before. When you enter into the reality that we believe in one God, the Father, and we declare in our profession that He's Almighty, and right away you know, is this Walt sitting back here? Walt Richardson? Yeah. Praise God. Now I'm telling you, you're a sight for sore eyes, brother. And my eyes aren't sore. What a blessing to see you tonight. The God that made Walt Richardson is the same God that made me. Isn't He a marvelous God? You know that He's got to be almighty. And that's what He is. He is almighty. So now, if we can take that much, and you mothers begin to look at your son-in-laws as marvelous creations of God, and you wonderful daughter-in-laws begin to look at your mother-in-law and vice versa, we just begin to look at one another, not through the eyes of criticism, a judgmental attitude, but we look at one another through the marvelous gift of God that's given us life, that's allowed us the privilege. Do you know I'm privileged to be here? I didn't ask to come. My brother Walt didn't ask to come, and God just picked us and put us here. And I'm going to tell you, I discovered this 13 years ago. I've been excited about it ever since. And so you can imagine my excitement when I discovered that this great body of believers that I'm in, our profession of faith is exactly what I believe. It's wonderful. And I've found very, very, very few people that couldn't accept every bit of this. It's the most ecumenical tool of evangelization that the world has today. And I don't know why. It's like we go over this every Sunday almost like in a hurry to get through it. We're like 45 seconds, we got to be through this thing. You know, we've already said this 1,000 times. Let's say it and get through with it and get it over with. And I'm convinced we should probably stay all day and look at it and pick it apart. Think about it. Begin to apply it to one another. Begin to look at one another through the light of what we believe. And all of a sudden there'll be great joy and great excitement and great enthusiasm because God is revealing Himself to us in what we believe. Now it says that this God, this singular God, is the maker of heaven and earth. And what I'd like to say about that is that I used to think of earth as this thing out here, this pile of dirt, or what this building here is built on the earth. And I discovered a marvelous thing in Scripture is that Jesus made me out of the earth. So when He speaks of the earth, not only is it the visible planet itself, but you and I are also considered the earth. We're made out of dirt. We're made out of clay, and we're going back to clay. You know, on Ash Wednesday we get the ashes to ashes and dust to dust. Well, I figured out one day, you know, this thing's made out of dirt. It's going back to the dirt, so I'm the earth. But there is a spirit in me that lets me believe in a single God that is also a maker of a place that I can't see. It's called heaven. I've never seen it. I don't know where it's at. I couldn't put my finger on it. But if I have faith in God, put my commitment to Him, walk in Him, looking at you and serving you the way He served you, then I'm going to be with Him in heaven. That's where I'm going. And it's by faith that I go. It's not by what I see. Everything that I see, in fact, it says here, all that is seen and unseen, the things that I see are temporary. My brother Walt back here is temporary. Father Tugwell is temporary. Charlie Osborne is temporary. Steve Malajewski is temporary. We're all temporary things, unique creations of God here on this earth, and we're passing through. Passing through. Passing through. On our way to a place that we don't even know where it's at. So it's going to take faith to get there. And I wish I had enough time to go through all of the... Well, maybe you can get to come to our school. You've got a form in there that tells you that in April we're going to put on a one-week a school of evangelization. We'll have a whole bunch of instructors, marvelous people that just understand this great message of faith, and it'll be an exciting week in April. So a lot of things we're not going to be able to cover tonight, so I would really invite you to come to our school. Now, let me say this about the first sentence of the creed. If you'll notice there, everything that is finished. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all that is seen and unseen, and that's it. There's nothing else to be done. It's all made. It's finished. It's complete. God, in His goodness and in His mercy and in His commitment to man, when man fell from God's grace, God promised to reveal Himself through a Savior. Up until the time of Jesus, this first sentence was all the world had. Abraham believed in one God. He was justified in his faith by believing in one God. Never knew who he was, but he just knew that there was a God, and he was a single God, and that he had been made by God, and the nation of Israel was from God. But that's about all they knew about him. They knew him only in fragmented ways, varied ways. And then along comes the marvel of, listen to this, it says, we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to take time to go through this like I generally do. We've got an outline through here. You can read through this later, and all this material belongs to you. But to me, when I begin to look at this, the word Lord to me means master. That if I believe that there is a master, then his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only one in the whole world that I can allow him to be the master of is me. I can't let him be the master for anybody else but me. Now, I can talk about my relationship and my service and my commitment to this master, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I cannot experience this marvelous gift of life, this wonderful revelation of God. I cannot give that to anyone. That is a personal, intimate relationship that each person must make a decision to experience. In other words, I'm saying there's two roads to travel. There is a road of the flesh, that is death, and there's a road of the Spirit, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, which there's life. We can choose either road. I choose the Lord Jesus, the master of my soul. I choose Him over the flesh. Now, it says here that He is the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father. In other words, we believe that Jesus Christ is not something that happened along 2,000 years ago, that He has always been. Now, that takes an act of faith to believe that. It's called a mystery. We don't understand something that doesn't have a beginning, because in our life, there is a beginning and an end. And we're kind of stuck with that. But for our faith, we believe that this God that made me has no beginning. And there's no end to it. That he is begotten, not made. Begotten of the Father, that Jesus Christ, and this is really big. I really want to impress this because this is one of the things that we really do in our school, because I'm convinced that each person must come to the point in his life where this becomes a decision. And sometimes it's a very difficult decision. That Jesus Christ is God from God. That if you ever expect to see God, you're going to have to go to Jesus. Because he is God. That he is light from light. That he is the truth. Everything else is a lie. Everything else is temporary. But God, who is infinite, no end, the truth, and then my faith says that Jesus Christ is true God from true God. Now you can roll that around in your wonderful minds forever. Because if Jesus Christ is God, and I believe that, as Catholic, if I believe that Jesus Christ is God, then my commitment is to bring the whole world to experience Jesus Christ. His way of life, his thoughts, his mind, his actions, his deeds, that I am to live that, and in me living that, to express that to the whole world. For there is no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what our church teaches. That the Word of God is the power of God for salvation to anyone that has faith. And we know that the Word became flesh. That God became flesh. God is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is true God from true God. And for me to believe that, that eliminates all other gods. And for me, I know this is really, folks, this is really heavy stuff. And if we can all come into this agreement, and that's what I want to ask you tonight, if you can come into this agreement in your faith that Jesus Christ is God and God alone, and there's no other way to God except the Lord Jesus Christ because he is God. Can we believe that? I'll tell you what, it just eliminates a lot of things that have piled up around the pews and around the tables and around the altars and all the things that we try to give honor and glory to God for. If we can believe that Jesus is God, then we must pursue Jesus. We must look to him. For he's the true God. He is the truth of God. He's the revelation of God. He is the Word made flesh. He is the incarnate power. Establishment of God on this earth. And that has to live in me. Jesus, the flesh of God, and the reason it became flesh is so that this flesh would have a clear view of what God looks like. That I would clearly see God in the flesh. That I would have a way to know who God is. You see, up until the time of Jesus, they didn't know who God was. They were afraid of him, the big bad God. But when God became flesh, he was a wonderful, merciful, compassionate, generous, forgiving God. Holy God. Marvelous gift to the whole world that we all might see in him the glory of God. And that glory must live in me. My flesh must imitate his flesh. If he is God, then, and I really believe that he's God, don't you think it'd be a little bit stupid for me to try to imitate anybody other than Jesus? Brother Walt's a nice guy, but I follow him, I might fall in a ditch. But if I'm walking with Jesus and Walt is walking with Jesus, if old Charlie should stumble, Walt's able to pull him out of the ditch. But if I'm following Walt and Walt falls, Charlie will fall with him. So that's the reason that our eyes are fixed on Jesus and we serve one another. We're committed to one another. We love one another because that's what Jesus... God loves me. Well, I know that if he loves me, then he's got to love you. And what I discovered about him is that I can't love him who I can't see if I don't love you who I do see. So my love then has got to be toward you. My commitment has to be to you. If I'm to serve him, then my service is to you. My commitment is to you. My love is to you. My generosity is to you. And I used to just think, well, I'll just serve God, you know, and to heck with everybody else. I just love God. You know, have a great love for God. And I wouldn't have too much of anything for you. And Father Smith told me, he said, that ain't gonna work, Charlie. He said, if God loves you, then he's got to love you. And if he loves you the way he loves me, I got to love you the same way. And I discovered that love is a sacrifice. It's not a feeling or an emotion. It's a commitment. Because there's a lot of times I don't feel like doing this. The pay isn't all that good. I did a lot better making pizzas. But, you know, I couldn't afford to pass this up. Because, you know, pizzas won't get me into heaven. It just won't. And I made a commitment, a decision to follow Jesus because he's God. And each one of us will have to make that decision. Or we make the decision we're not going to follow him. And this is what our school teaches. It teaches us how to follow the Lord Jesus. How in obedience and respect and admiration for authority we can follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You notice that I didn't have to run off and build my own church to follow Jesus. Didn't have to. Jesus told me to serve here. He said, here's where you'll be persecuted. I said, well, I don't like that. He said, I didn't either. See, if we start looking for places... If we start looking for places to serve God, then you're going to have to cut a lot of people out. You can't cut anybody out of this thing. Nobody. If we believe this creed, because it says there's only one God and he is the Father of everybody. So I have no right to judge anybody. I only have a right to serve. So we believe tonight... How many of you here have never, and I find this sometimes it's a little challenging, but how many of you here have never had an opportunity to stand up in a group of this size individually and confess Jesus Christ, your Lord and Master? Has anybody ever been able... How many of you... Let me ask this. How many of you have had an opportunity to do that before? Raise your hand. Well, we got a whole bunch that hadn't. And you know that's the beginning of this walk? That's the beginning, is to stand up and tell other people that he's my Lord and my Master, he's my Savior, And tonight I'm on my way with him. That'll start your walk, because then you'll have a whole lot of people looking at you to see whether you're going to do it or not. They'll be eyeballing you. And see, Jesus said this: if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. Do you know he's up there tonight and said, "Oh, Charlie's at it again"? That's his word. And he is true to his word. He's at it again. He's confessing me before men. And that's something you may want to consider tonight. And if you feel like you just have to do it tonight, raise your hand, I'll let you do it. If you've never done it, if you've already done it, no need to do it. Only have to do that once. Start your walk. Most of us have, at least in my case, I went to church for years, every day, but I'd never stood up and told a group that Jesus was my Lord and my Savior. And the minute I did that, boy, it was a whole different walk. All of a sudden, I saw the whole church in a different light. I saw everything in a different view, from a different perspective, and folks, it was wonderful. And my life's not been the same since. Y'all can tell that, can't you? So, a lot of people say I'm a little radical, but I'm not radical. This faith is not radical. It's a simple faith. Very challenging, but extremely simple. Listen to this. It says this: Jesus Christ, who is true God from true God, is begotten, not made, one in being with the Father. Through him all things were made. Do you know that takes me completely out of the picture of ever having made anything? I ain't make nothing. In fact, all I've ever made is a mess. It says Jesus made all things. So I've been made through him, and my life surrendered to him becomes complete. Apart from him, I am nothing. With him, I'm everything. It's wonderful. Can you imagine 850 million Roman Catholics with this kind of knowledge and wisdom and understanding and zeal and enthusiasm, with this kind of faith? The devil had to set up another planet to work. His discrimination and anger and resentment and hatred and jealousy and greed and hate, all of those spiritual forces, they'll have to leave. They won't operate here in us anymore. They just won't operate anymore. We don't let him operate no more. He don't operate in my life. I won't let him operate on me no more. I'm going to read on down through this because I got some other things that I want to cover. But I wanted to touch this first part of this to show you how powerful this is. In fact, if you really got right down to it, it sounds a little Protestant. In fact, I've been accused of maybe being a little too... I said, this is Catholic. People say, you sound like a Baptist. I said, I never heard a Baptist sound like this before. And I get excited about, Baptists believe this. If there's only one God, I don't know how we can separate them. I was just before a group in Decatur, Illinois, last weekend. There's 2,000 people. And I had to ask them, what are y'all? I couldn't tell whether they were Catholic or Baptist. Just looking at them, you just don't know. And so I told them I was going to treat them all like they were Catholics because I was a Catholic preacher. And I didn't know how to speak to them any other way than being Catholic. And they kind of fussed around a little bit, but, I was the guest speaker, so they couldn't really do nothing about it. And so they had to sit and listen. And it's amazing that my faith was just like their faith. They thought, wow. Because I asked them going in, I said, y'all believe in one God? They said, yeah. I said, I do too. Y'all believe that Jesus is God? Yep, we believe it. You believe the Holy Spirit's the Lord and the giver of life?
Yep.
I said, what are we doing fighting on one another? What are we doing with the devil? Why do we allow him to divide us? Y'all ever stop and think, why do we allow it? You know what we ought to do? Father Tugwell, next Sunday, we all ought to, when you get through Mass, you ought to say, okay, everybody, we're all going over here to the Methodist Church at 11 o'clock and join their service. And every of you just walk over there and sit down and just start loving on everybody. Tell them how their church, first of all, would be packed. Probably. And then give them a good offering. When they pass the offering plate, really donate. You do that two or three times, they'll be coming over here to see what y'all got. Amen. Does that sound too strange to you? If we've only got one God, I think it's time that we begin to let God be God and us serve one another. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Am I too far out? Is it? That's not too radical, is it, for Niceville? I mean, it worked for Israel. Well, it was. They finally wound up killing Jesus for probably talking like this. It says, through him all things were made for us men and for our salvation. He came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that something? And we believe this, that God one day made a decision. He said, okay, it's time for me to come. And he jumped on his Holy Spirit, and here he came. And we don't have no problem with believing that. And I'm going to tell every one of you this. If Jesus came by the power of the Holy Spirit and revealed himself to the world, that's exactly the way he comes today. He comes in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he reveals himself to the world, to those that will call out to him, for those that will holler and beg and plead that he come. He'll come and fill your heart. He just will. It's the way he comes, by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, that's exactly the way he comes today. And it said, he came by the power of the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Virgin Mary, and God became a man. True man, true man, true man, and
true God.
We all believe that, don't we? Okay, if Jesus was a true man, anything less than him is not a true man. If he's true man, then for us to be true men is to be like him. That's what a true man is. Compassionate, merciful, gentle, long-suffering, obedient, never being offended, kind to everyone, long-suffering. Fruits of the Holy Spirit, that's what a true man is. That's what a true woman is. You know, we've even got people in our church that has problems with words like men or man. And it said in the beginning God made man and woman and made them in his image. And you know what I discovered about a woman? It's a man with a womb. That's all it is. In fact, today it's very difficult to distinguish between the two. The way they, you know, look at my wife's haircut. Isn't that something? Isn't that pretty? Isn't she beautiful? I thank God that he made a woman. And I thank God he made man. Folks, that to God... In fact, St. Paul said there's no neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. We are all sons of God. Don't have a problem with being a son. Now, maybe in some of our church tradition, we haven't quite accepted all that yet. But I'm believing that God's looking at us today and he looks at all of us just alike.